If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Have I ever told you that I just love this church? I love the building, but I mean the people. Well, thank you, Jake. Somebody does. And I mean that, you know, I just feel like every day is Christmas for me to be able to pastor, to pray for you, to study the Word, and to hear from heaven about your lives. It's not something I take lightly. It's a joy to me, and I just hope that you do feel loved because you are. Praise God. And so, so thankful for you all. Just lift you up every day. Thank God for you, and just excited for the future for all of you. It's going to be good. Praise God. If you'll do it His way, right, it'll be good. Father, we love you so much. We're just so thankful and grateful for all that you have done for us, all that you have given to us. Father, for all that you have provided, we are so thankful. It is because of you, Lord, that we even have life and eternal life. But Father, the abundant life belongs to us. The increase from heaven belongs to us on this earth. And so, Father, we thank you because that is your idea. It is your plan. It's your will. And thank you, Father. We just are so grateful this morning. And Father, as we open your word, it is a privilege to spend time with such precious people gathered around something so wonderful as your word. And Father, help us, instruct us, guide us, teach us, lead us. And we'll just be quick to listen, Father, and to be obedient. And Lord, I thank you're going to speak to us this morning. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And I know that you will because that is how you do things. And so, Father, we yield to you this morning. Have your way in this service. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. And, Father, we are in love with you. We're so thankful and grateful for what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I feel like this verse, well, what the equivalent of it to me is of somebody taking a small child that does not know how to swim and just chucking them in the deep end and saying, "Swim," right? In fact, I knew a lady like that that did that, and there were some people doing some work on my house at one time, and his wife's a godly woman, loves Jesus, and, you know, I believe she followed her heart on this. She doesn't abuse her kids, but she's very just in line, and they were talking about children learning how to swim, and the husband said, "My wife took our two-year-old and just chucked him in the pool." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "He swam. He swam. He did it," you know, and I feel like this verse is that way, and here's what I mean, because if you get chucked into a pool that you can't, and you don't know how to swim, that can be uncomfortable to the mind and the flesh. And what God is saying is He's saying, "I'm putting you here, and the flow that you have to live by to be successful is a flow that you cannot depend on what you can see. You cannot depend on what you can feel. You cannot depend on what you hear. I want you to actually live by the unseen realm, which is super duper uncomfortable to our flesh and mind." Yeah. But I'll just say it as plainly as I can. If you are going to receive from God in the fullness of what He has for you, and I don't know why anybody would want less, but if you're going to receive from God in the fullness of what He has for you, you better learn to be skillful with His word. You better learn to be masterful with what He has said. Because it's not enough that He just said it. It's what we do with what He said. Because just because it's said and just because it's His will does not mean that it will come to pass in your life. Until you become skillful with His ways and His word and how He does things, you won't experience what God has for you. And He said the flow that you're to live by is the flow of faith. And the flow of faith is the flow of the unseen. The flow of what's not there. And let me tell you something. Our eyes and our ears and our senses don't like to be kept in the dark. Caleb and I, not too long ago, went on a roller coaster. And I was fine with the ones where it was out in the open and the sun was shining. But then we went through a dark one. And I was like, I'm not so fine with this one. Why? I couldn't see what was next. Was it going to be a drop? Was it going to be going straight up, going straight down? Was it going to be a twist and a turn? Well, my senses did not like that. And God says, I'm putting you in a dark roller coaster world. You can't live by what you see. You got to live by faith. And so faith, in the very essence of it, is very uncomfortable to the flesh and the mind and the emotions. And that's why so many people struggle with faith. Don't have to struggle with faith, but so many people are sense realm people or carnal realm people, and they never can get past. It's almost like this. With faith, you have to have an eye of faith. What do I mean by that? Well, you might have bills stacked to the ceiling and money hardly coming off the desk. And your natural eyes and your natural thoughts and your flesh is going to be screaming at you, trouble, 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 what are you going to do? But the eye of faith will see through the bills, will see through the low money, and see into the unseen realm of the word, and it'll see prosperity there. The natural eye will see lack and poverty, but we don't go by the natural eye. We go by faith, which is the spiritual eye, and that'll look through that stuff and see there's prosperity there. Hallelujah. The spiritual eye of faith will see through a doctor's report. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a healer, a miracle-working God. The Bible says nothing is too hard for him. Well, the question comes for a lot of times for Christians, and why did so-and-so get sick? Well, hey, I got family members and friends and stuff. They're Christians and they're sick, but they don't know a lick about faith and about healing. Amen. You got to know how to work this stuff for it to work for you. Doesn't make people, like I said, I have friends and family that they don't walk in the blessings of God. Doesn't make them any less loved by God. Doesn't make them any less heaven-bound than you know, we're not any greater. That's not what I mean. But I'll tell you what, I receive more than they do. Because you don't get in life what you deserve. You get in life what you believe for. You just do. That's the way it works. So the spiritual eye of faith can look through the doctor's report and the symptoms and see the word says that by his stripes, you'll see Jesus on the cross, that he bore all your sin, sickness, and disease, and you'll see your healing. That's what the spiritual eye. And so God says, that's the realm you walk by if you want to succeed. If you want to be victorious, if you want to be skillful, if you want to be masterful in the days we live in, you better be able to look past the natural into the spiritual realm, which is so unseen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that we put us here like that. But you know what? Faith is a joy. Faith is a privilege. There's nothing more exciting than living a life by faith, because when you don't live by faith, you are stuck with the natural. And you better hope that your lottery comes up for you, that your natural's good. But see, why it's exciting to live by faith is because when the lottery doesn't come up in your numbers and the slot machine, there's not three red cherries there, it's all different, and you're not getting any handouts, I'll tell you what, faith can change all of that. That's why faith is an exciting thing. It's not something that we look at and say, oh, we got to live by faith. No, we get to live by faith. It's an honor to live by faith. It's a joy to live by faith. But you better know how to live by faith, that it has nothing to do with what you can see in the natural. Amen. Praise God. Now, 2 weeks ago, we opened this building, and I preached on Mark 11:24. And it's still been big in my heart to go there. But last week, we talked about the service, about what happened at the Pastor Nancy meetings with the miracle. And we need to watch that or listen to that service over and over. And I'm going to constantly keep that before you. Why? Because I want your expectations to be for miracles. Because I'm not a miracle worker. God is. And God needs more than himself and me to perform miracles. He needs the people to be hungry and on board. Praise God. And so let's go to Mark 11:24. We're going on a field trip today. Say, what's he talking about? I'll let you know in a second. Just get excited. Make sure you got your boots and your bug spray and your sunscreen. We're going on a field trip. In Mark 11:24, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Thank God for that verse. Amen. That verse raised up my spiritual great-grandpa, Kenneth Hagin, up off his deathbed. He discovered that verse and preached that verse for decades. Well, that's the verse that can change the natural for you. That's right. can get you money. It can get you cars. It can get you lands, houses, a spouse. It can get you a house. It can a mouse, right? I all rhyme. If you want a mouse, it'll get you a mouse. Praise the Lord. It'll get you anything you want. Praise God. It gets you anything you need, anything you desire. That verse causes it to come to pass. And I don't know if any... The only thing that comes to my head when I say this, and when I say it in my head, I know it sounds so wrong. The only thing... I can't think of a more better. Is more better? That's probably not even grammatically correct. I say that, and it sounds awful. And I think, my God, I'm not that intelligent when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I can't think of anything else than more better. There's not been more better words that have ever fell from the Master's lips concerning faith than this. I don't think so. And what an awesome verse this is. And we're going to go in through this again because there's more revelation that needs to be pulled out of this verse today. So say, what's that field trip, Pastor Mike? Well, we're going to go fishing today. Okay? We're going to go fishing today and learn some things about fishing. And you're either going to walk out of here and say, my God, my pastor is, I thought he was strange, but today brings it to a whole new level. Or you will walk out of here today and say, the Holy Ghost is wonderful. Because I've endeavored and made up my mind that I'm only going to give what he gives me. And I believe I got this. I was walking my dogs yesterday, and it just dropped on me, and the illustrations and the examples were there, and I knew it was to share it this weekend. And it's important that you remember that God used a donkey. I qualify, ladies and gentlemen. He used a donkey. I'm just saying, that's weird to use a donkey, but he did. God used spit to heal somebody. Why? I don't know, but he did. I don't know why God does what he does. I don't know why he gave me this example. I mean, I'm sitting there laughing the whole time thinking, okay, I'll share this, whatever. That sounds good. Let's go fishing. Because you're going to see on our field trip today with fishing that faith and fishing are alike. Faith and fishing are very, very similar. And so, praise God. Are you ready? So here we go. How are faith and fishing similar? Well, when you go fishing, isn't what you're looking for in that unseen realm? Now, I'm not talking about if you're on the bank and, you know, you're feeding fish or, you know, you're just off the dock and maybe you can see. I'm talking maybe you go out on a big body of water, you go out on an ocean, and you're casting out far away. You can't see what's under that water. You're going after the unseen realm, but that's what faith is. We walk by faith and not by sight. So they're similar, right? The trophy or the prize that you're looking for is something that can't be seen, but you know it's out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, to start fishing, the process, say you're going out on a lake or going out on the ocean and you're just, you know, in a new spot or something, aren't you going to, I'll say it this way, you know, I understand you nature lovers and you purists that say, when I'm hunting, I didn't see anything, I just had a wonderful time with Jesus and the nature was awesome. I get it, but it's always been better when I see deer.
Amen.
I get it, it's always, yes, I know I didn't see a lick, not even a squirrel, but my God, the way the wind rustled through the leaves, so beautiful. It would have been better if I saw deer. Would have been better. Well, same thing with fishing. I know you can go out, enjoy the time on the water and the boat and be out in God's creation, but it's always better when you catch fish when you're fishing.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so when you launch to go out, don't you go out to a spot that maybe you had a family or friend say, hey, up over at the point, they're biting over there. Or you talk to a local, you go into a bait shop or wherever, say, where are the bass biting? Where are the walleyes biting? And they'll say, you know, go over here and try that. So when you launch out, because the goal is to catch fish, don't you want to have confidence to where you're going? Amen. Amen. You want to have confidence. Because that's where it all starts, is the faith. Like, to go out with the expectation to catch fish, you got to know where the fish are at. You can have a fish finder. What's a fish finder? A fish finder is a little machine that hooks up to the boat, and it has sonar that goes down. It tells you where the fish are at, and that, you know, locates them, or maybe a local or a friend or a family points you in the right direction, or maybe you're just familiar with the place. But it's the same thing with faith, that before you can launch out and be confident of your faith, you have to know that the promises are there and exist. How do you know the promises are there and exist? Well, you might not know this, but you have a spiritual fish finder. It's called the Bible. It's called the Holy Ghost. See, what the Holy Ghost and the Bible do for you is they tell you what's there. And you can't have faith and have expectation. Let me tell you something. If I go out on the Lake Erie by myself, I take my truck and a trailer and I take a boat out there, someone lends me their boat, and I go out there, I can tell you this. I have zero confidence of having a good day of fishing unless I have a fish finder or unless I have inside information that someone told me. Same with faith. You cannot have an expectation or the persuasion or the convincing that faith requires unless you have some inside information. Well, the Bible and the Holy Ghost is the inside information. What do I mean? The Bible tells you exactly what's there for you to go after, and your heart for the things that there are things that will come into your life that you won't have chapter and verse for, but the Holy Ghost will tell you, this belongs to you. This is yours. I've had that happen with vehicles. I've had that happen with houses. I've had that happen locations of where to plant churches that it was mine. I didn't find a chapter and verse, but I didn't need to because the Holy Ghost is just as much the Word of God as the written Word of God. But the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are your fish finders. They are your inside information. So when you see it in the Word or God speaks something in your heart, you can say, I can have confidence to pursue that now because I know it's there. Just like if they say, hey, go up there, a couple miles, turn right there, you'll see a little inlet or whatever. I'm going there with full confidence knowing there's fish there. Yeah. If you don't know what the Word says about your situation or you don't know what the Holy Ghost says about your situation, there will be no confidence. Because that's the only thing that backs us up and anchors our souls, right? So that's the same thing. We have to have a starting place of knowing, and that's getting a Word from God. But once you got the Word from God, boom, launch out. Go for it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for my spiritual fish finder. Amen. You know, it's important because the Spirit of God can tell you which house is yours. The Bible can't. The Spirit of God can tell you which spouse is right for you. The Bible can't. The Spirit of God can tell you which car or which job to take or what thing to specific things in your life to avoid, but the Bible can't. The Bible can tell us general promises and things and some specific things for our lives. But I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost because when I get things in my heart that aren't maybe backed up by a chapter and verse, but I got them from my heart, I can have confidence in that and launch out knowing the sonar picked it up. The radar picked it up. And see, the more you spend time in the Spirit and praying and seeking God, a lot of people say, I don't know if it's my spirit, I don't know if it's my head. That's because you don't spend enough time with God. Amen. The more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in the Word, the more time. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing and piercing even to the dividing joints and marrow of the soul and the spirit? The Bible says the Word will divide the soul and the spirit. What's the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. Problem when people don't hear from God is that me thinking that? Am I coming up with that? Or is that God leading me? Well, the more you're in His presence around the Word and in prayer, those things will become so clear to you and it'll separate. You'll know what's you and you'll know what's God. Hallelujah. So thank God for the spiritual fish finder. Well, okay, so then you get inside information. We know where to go launch our boat. We know where to put the anchor down and start the process of going after what's in that unseen realm, which is the blessing of the fish or the blessing of the promises of God. Well, you find out, okay, you're sick, you're broke, you need whatever. You found out what the Word says or you need something specific and God has put it on your heart. What is yours? Okay, fine. Now we can launch out. Now we can set sail. Praise God. So now we get out there and we launch out. Well, I know this, that there are places this happens, but it doesn't happen with walleyes. It doesn't happen with bass. It doesn't happen with basically a lot of the fish that people sport fish for around here. That fish don't normally jump in the boat. Now, there are places where you see them going down rivers and they're jumping all over the place. I mean, it just looks chaotic. Have you seen those videos where they'll try to shoot them out of the air with a bow and things like that? But that's a rarity, right? When I would go fishing, which was very rare because my dad was very good at fishing. actually, the people that would, my dad was an excellent walleye fisherman, and the people that would guide on Chautauqua Lake that would get paid to guide would go to my dad and ask him where the fish are. That's just how, he was just excellent at it. Well, you know, it's kind of like this. I grew up and I excelled in baseball. It came very easy to me. And when I go to teach Caleb how to play it, I just, instead of want to help him with his hitting, I want to take the bat and bash myself in the face as hard as I can over and over and over and over again. Why? He just doesn't get it. And I don't understand how you cannot get it. Well, it's like my dad. He could not understand why I kept getting the line tangled, why I kept messing things up, and he just got frustrated with me. And just, I got tired of getting yelled at. He got tired of taking me, so I just never went fishing. Tried it again years later when we went up to Lake Erie. We were either walleye fishing or trout fishing, and I have never puked more times in my life than on Lake Erie. So fishing and me do not mix. Praise the Lord. I've not had good experiences with that. So we'll see. Maybe I'll visit it down the road. But anyways, why did I tell you that? History lesson of Pastor Mike. But anyways, I just know this from the limited experience that I have in watching things and hearing from people. Fish don't jump in your boat.
That's right.
You have to do something.
Amen.
Well, the promises of God don't jump in your boat. They don't jump in your boat. Have you found that out?
Yeah.
Praise God. They don't just jump in your boat. So what's the thing you do once you get out and you sit there? What do you have to do to bring that into your boat? The very first thing you have to do is cast the line,
amen,
right? Cast the line. Well, of course, you got to bait the hook, of course, but you got to cast the line. Once you cast the line, that in the process gets started. Well, what is the casting of the line? Go to Romans 10 and verse 10. What is the casting of the line faith-wise? It's the release of your words. You got to release that line. That line with that bait does no good in your boat. It's got to be released into that unseen realm. That will start the process of bringing the unseen realm into the natural. Romans 10:10 says this. For with the heart man believeth. Do you see that? When you launched out, you had to get inside information, right? You had to get insider tips or spiritual fish finder, which was the word of God or something that was put on your heart specifically. You had to get that, didn't you? Well, when you got that, faith rose up. But where faith rises up is always of the heart. Faith starts in the heart. He says, for with the heart man believeth. But see, you can't leave it in your heart. Just like you can't leave the line and the baited line in the boat. It has to be released to get the process going. Well, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Or you could say it this way. Confession brings the possession.
Amen.
No confession, no possession. No casting of the line. See, you have to understand that faith, for it to be in existence, to be alive, to be strong, to be live and well, to be skillful with faith, faith must be found in two places. If faith is not found in these two places, it will not work. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, this sermon will change your life. If you'll just put these simple practices to work in your life, I mean, my God, the natural will change for you. I was preaching last night. Lord had me share the same thing in Olean. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. And I was ministering, and I just had to stop service and correct people, because I don't know if people really fully grasp what Mark 11:24 can actually do for you in your life. Because when I preach it and people are off in na-na land, I'm not saying it's happened today, but it was yesterday, I had to stop and say, listen, I'm here to tell you, you want your life to change, stink and pay attention to what I have to say. Like, this is valuable information that's attempting to be downloaded into your life. If you don't want it to have the status quo and just live the norm of the way things always have been, you need to become a faith master. Yeah. And that's what this message will help you do today. But look at it, says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. What's first? I believe. Believing is of the heart, for of the heart, with the heart man believeth. And therefore, because I have believed, therefore, I have spoken. Well, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, when you get belief in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. He said, I have spoken, therefore we also believe and therefore speak. That word spirit in the Greek is the word vital, kind of like a vital sign. Well, a natural human life needs vital signs to prove that there's something going on there.
Yeah, amen.
It does. Well, you know, without a pulse, without a whatever, a heartbeat or heart rate or whatever, there's no proof that there's any life there. It's a vital sign. Well, the same thing with faith. If God says we walk by faith, the just shall live by faith, you receive the promises of God by faith, you overcome by faith, all these things, then we better know what faith is. Well, faith is two places located, your heart and in your mouth. It's a vital sign of faith. What does that mean? Well, you might have it in your heart, but if there's nothing in your mouth, your faith is dead.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true. You got to have your vital signs working. And he's saying, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, that's how it starts to come your way. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It does no good to keep the pole and the baited pole in the boat. It does no good if you're not opening your mouth and casting your faith out there. The first deer I ever shot, I was way too young. Now, I've told you about the first deer I ever shot at, and I was really way too young. I mean, I couldn't even pick the gun up. It was basically, boom, boom. But the first deer I ever actually shot was way too young, way before it was legal. And I think back, it's funny now, but I'm thankful my dad did that with me because I got to see a lot, learn a lot, and enjoy a lot. But anyways, they put me on a ridge in a wooden box blind that was probably 10 to 12 feet off the ground. And I was super young, and all the older guys were real excited about Mikey getting a deer. Don't call me Mikey. Well, you can call me whatever you want. I don't give a rip. But anyways, that's what I was called when I was little. They thought, oh, we got to get Mikey a deer. Got to get Mikey a deer. Well, so they would all go in different directions and come my way to try to funnel the deer to me. Well, it was a lot of snow on the ground, and the deer stuck out like a sore thumb. And six of them came up over a ridge because they had been pushed. But by the time they got to me, they weren't as scared, so they were calm. And there were six of them. And so I proceeded to pull up, put the gun on the ledge, and I shot one of them. And down she went, you know, and they heard the shooting, and they came over. And they saw the deer laying there, and it was like a celebration, hooting and hollering, just excited for me, you know, and I was pumped. My dad came over, and he said, how many shots did it take you to kill this deer? I said, I got her in one shot. He said, I heard you shoot six times. I said, yeah, there were five other deer with her. My thinking was, what good does the bullets do in the gun? The bullets need to be released now. Thank God I missed all other five times. But that's why I say, ladies and gentlemen, we are not looking for World War III. It's already happened when I was younger in the woods. I made it sound like a world war. We are on our way to World War IV, so don't look. III's passed us by. But my take was, what good does it do with the bullets in the gun? I got bullets. Let's fire them. I mean, I know it's wrong now, but it's the same way with faith. It does you no good to keep it in here.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely no good until you get it in your mouth.
Yeah.
It will not start coming your way.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You have to release your faith with your words. And I know that every time I mention it, it comes up in my spirit that people are lacking in this area. That people will say, we'll be remembered. And that's not a accusation or a condemning statement. That's a wake up, church.
Yeah.
Wake up, church. What's in your mouth? What are you saying? What are you casting out there? So this goes along with saying, because I want to show you what to say. Go back to Mark 11:24, please, if you wouldn't mind. Mark 11:24. We're doing good on our fishing trip here. Mark 11:24. It said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Now notice this. This is the kicker. When you pray, believe. When you pray, what's the praying? The casting of the line.
Amen.
The releasing of the faith. He says when that happens, there needs to be something with that belief. He says when you pray, believe. He's saying at the moment you release your line or cast your faith out there, he says at that moment you are to believe it's yours.
Amen.
At that moment. And so when you cast a line out, it's not enough to just have the fish hit that line and start reeling it in. That might work sometimes, but the majority of the time when the fish hits the line, you got to hook it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to hook that thing. You got to get the hooks in it. And the better you hook it, the better chance you have of seeing that fish come in the boat. And so when it comes to casting your words, this verse tells us we need to hook those things. What is hooking those things? When you pray, believe. So hooking those promises are simply saying this when you release your faith. Say you have a need. Let's say you need a few $100 or whatever, and you have a bill to pay. And you see in the Word, my God shall supply all my needs. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for that amount of money. And then when you pray, you believe. Now you got to hook that thing and say, Father, I thank you. I believe. I receive it now. Why? Because the Bible says when you pray, you better believe.
Amen.
So, Father, I thank you. I believe. I receive it now. What'd you do? You just put your hooks in it.
Yeah.
You just put your spiritual hooks in that thing. Praise God. You have to hook these things that are in the unseen realm. If it's something God has put in your heart that there's no verse on, you got to hook that thing. See, it's not enough that it's in your heart. It's not enough that it's written on the Bible. Doesn't matter that it's in here or in here. It still has to become a reality out here. And the reality coming out here, yes, that's God's job, but God's job doesn't come until we first do our part. Which is the releasing of our faith, which is hooking it, which is the next step we're going to talk about. And so you got to hook that thing. Well, I got my hooks in some things.
Yeah. Amen.
And I mean, I got my hooks in, I mean, I'm talking pulling the lips right off that thing. I mean, just tearing that thing up. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because the next step, if you have not been convinced to cast your line into a hook, see, the strength of how you hook it is going to come from the strength of how sure you are of what the fish finder has said.
Yeah, that's good.
If you know that you know that the Word says it and you know that you know what your heart is saying, you can put a hook in that thing deep, deep, deep. Praise God.
Amen.
But see, here's why you need to hook it. Because the next step, when you hook a fish and you got them on the line, again, a lot of times, especially when you're fishing on, her dad has been recently, last few years, going down to Florida with a friend that has retired down there, and they go saltwater fishing out on the ocean, and they're catching things, swordfish and huge sharks and things like that, that when they hit the line, they don't come towards the boat. They hit the line and going that way, the wrong way. And if you don't have it hooked and understand what the next step of bringing it in is, you'll never see the promises manifest. Because casting and hooking are probably, I would say, an easier step than the next step, which is the struggle of bringing. Now, I'm not talking about a little sunfish, but you know what? I know, I do know this, that the bigger the trophy under that water, the bigger the prize that when it comes. The stronger the fish is, the bigger it's going to be, the more you're going to be able to, the bigger the trophy. I mean, the pictures, the food, all that good stuff that comes with the size. And you have to understand that when you are believing God for big things or believing God for things to move in your life, that just like when you cast for a fish, just because you hooked it does not mean you'll see it. You have to reel that thing in. And sometimes the reeling, especially like the stories he's been telling us, can take hours to get one fish in the boat. But when you get it in, oh, the rejoicing starts, the pictures start, the fillets start. Ooh, man, right? I don't even like seafood, and it looks, but you know what my problem is? Seafood looks so good, but I have texture problems. I mean, I get that stuff in my mouth, and I don't know, I'm ready to just launch it back out. But I'll tell you what, it looks so good to me, seafood. I mean, like the Admiral's Feast at Red Lobster looks amazing until I eat it.
Yeah.
But anyways, all that good stuff happens, right? And the struggle, once you hook it, there's a struggle. There's opposition. Well, when you hook that money, you hook that thing God's put in your heart, you hook that healing that you need in your body, get ready for opposition. Get ready for that line to go opposite. And see, if you don't know that, you'll be tempted to think, I'm never going to have it. You'll be tempted to think as your line is just, zzz, I mean, that would be, I'd be like, whoa, you seeing that line? Just have you ever seen it like on a TV show? The line just is going. I mean, they're just going at football field lengths, just away and away and away from you. It takes hours to get them back in. Well, you need to reel it in. Well, you want to know how to reel it in? Go to Romans 4 and verse 17. Because you know where most fish are lost? In the reeling it in. When they can wiggle off the hook. When the struggle became too much. When they get the line twisted and you're not able to handle them. That's when the fish are lost. I mean, you see it all the time. Oh, I got a big trophy on the line. Oh, it's off the line. Well, something happened from the hooking to the bringing it in. Well, that's the way it is with people. People get excited. They'll cast their line. They'll hook into something. They'll be excited. But then the line starts to flying out, and the struggle, and the fish is jumping, and the promises all over the place, and the struggle's happening, and it's not hooked good enough, and then it doesn't show up in their boat. This is the step, ladies and gentlemen, where it's won or lost. Right here. The patience part of faith. Hebrews 6:12 says, be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Patience goes with it. Well, what's patience? Patience is that span of time from when you hooked it to when you see it. He said, that's a part of it. That's a part of it. Well, Romans 4:17. So once you hook it, what do? Well, you don't not do anything. I can tell you that. You got to do something. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. Now notice this. See, you might hook some things and they still looking pretty dead. Financially, no sign of life in my finances. No sign of life in my health. No change, nothing different. It just looks like the status quo. It looks like things are never going to change. It just looks like there's no movement towards your way. And it can seem that way when you're reeling it. You feel that weight, but how long until I have to see it? That's what it can feel like with faith at times. So what do you do during that time when the struggle is real? You make sure you're calling those things that be not, the things you're believing for that are not, as though they are. That's the reeling it in, praise God. You know, when I want my dogs to come near me, I don't have a huge house, but I have a house that's big enough where I can be in a room different than where my dogs are, and I can't see them or know what room they're in. So when I want Wrigley or Will to come to me, I don't just stand there and expect them to just show up. Wrigley! Wrigley, give a whistle. She'll hear little feet come clicking on the floor. Or Willow, come here. Come here. She'll know my whistle and she'll come. What am I doing? Calling them to me. Yeah, healing! Come on! Come on, healing! What are you doing? Reeling it in. Prosperity. Come here. What are you doing? Calling it in. Calling those things. Praise God. Too many people are calling it the way they see it and not the way they want it. That's how God does things. Calling those things which be not as though they are. Go to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. See, once you hook it, you're not done saying. You're not done saying once you hook it. Mark 11:23. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, what's the mountain? Anything standing between you and what God says you can have. That's a mountain. If God says you can have something in the world, in the word, but the natural realm says you can't, that's a mountain. Yes. If God says you can have something in your heart, but there's things in the natural that say, no, you can't, that is a mountain. Well, thank God mountains are not scary. Mountains are not hard. Mountains should not trouble us because we have the remedy for the mountains. We know how to move the mountain out of the way. He said, therefore I say to you, whoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now notice this. He'll have whatsoever he says. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood in the Amplified Bible said she pressed through the crowd and she continually kept saying, I'm going to get my healing. If I just get to Jesus, I'm going to get my healing. She pressed through the crowd. If I just get to him, I'm going to get my healing. If I just get to him, I'm going to get my healing. What was she doing? Calling it in.
Yeah.
Calling it in.
Praise
yeah, praise God is right. Hallelujah. I was, when we were setting up the sound in here, it was Jake and Heather. Reverend Scott was here and myself. And they had me do a sound check. And I was just, I don't know, I think I was trying to do a stand-up comedy routine at first. And it just, and Reverend Scott's like, Pastor Mike, just preach. I need you to preach like what you would preach. And so I'm like, okay, I'll start preaching. So I pulled up this verse and I was just pacing back and forth and preaching. And when I was preaching, a revelation came to me. That I had never seen. I mean, it says just what the verse says it is. You know, anything God gives you is not going to disagree with the word. And it was just a revelation that I got. And I even said to them, I said, I'm going to preach this someday because it helps me and it's true and it's good. But I was just messing around. But it's just neat that God can drop anything in you whenever he wants to. I have learned that I don't put a box on him. I have learned that I don't sit there and try to figure things out how God works. I just let him be God. And it dropped in my heart, and because the Bible says here, you have to say it to move it. If you don't say it, it won't move. And see, some of those things that need to be moved to you, or need to be moved out of the way, whatever it is. I wonder when Christians are going to wake up and say, you know what? Jesus is not going to change that verse. Jesus is not going to go back and have the disciples write something different concerning this verse. And when people are finally going to say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I better get some things in my mouth. I better start speaking over some things. I wonder, I seriously, the way people talk, I wonder, when are you going to do what the Bible says? But this is what came into my heart. Now, this might not be groundbreaking to you, but if you'll listen to it and get it in your heart, so those things that we need to move, whether it's out of the way, whether it's to us. So when I was just messing around preaching, it dropped in my heart that it, now the it is whatever you need, it will stay if you don't say. I know, very simple, but the profoundness of the truth behind it is right along with this verse. It will stay if you don't say. It's not going to have any movement until you, not your God, not your pastor, it will stay if you don't say. Until you start saying, that thing is going to keep staying away from you. Absolutely. Colossians 4 and verse 2, we're almost done. Praise God. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer. Well, Mark 11:24 said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's praying. Well, we don't have to. See, if I release my faith for money, if I release my faith for healing, if I release my faith for anything God has put on my heart, I don't have to pray that every single day. The prayer of faith, ladies and gentlemen, is meant to be prayed one time. Put your hook in it, and then what do you do? Well, the Bible says to continue in prayer. How do we continue in prayer? Not with asking and asking and asking. Continue in prayer with thanksgiving.
Amen.
What does that look like? Well, you need money. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim $200 or whatever for this bill. I believe I receive it. You put your hooks in it. Now you wake up the next day, and what do you say? Father, I thank you for the money. What are you doing? Continuing in prayer with thanksgiving. You're continuing to water that with your faith. You wake up the next day, or a thought comes to you that you're not going to be able to pay that bill, or the money's nowhere to be found. Father, I thank you for that money. I thank you. I believe I received. And see, what I would do if I were you, when you put a hook in it, I'd write it down.
Wow.
I'd write day, date, and time of when it happened. Because when your mind starts messing with you, you say, that money's not coming. You say, oh, no. Back on August 6th at 11:35 p.m. In the living room of my house, I received it then. That's a sign you put your hook in it. And then every day when it comes to your mind or you wake up, how hard is it just to say, Father, I thank you. The money's coming. The money's coming. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, you will reap if you do not faint. But see, this is the stage, the reeling it in, when people get tired. And they wake up and remember we talked about 2 weeks ago that the main reason people really drop the ball when it comes to God's end of making it come to pass is because they try to figure it out. I was in a service, it was in the storefront. This is years ago. And there was a young lady in there, doesn't go to the church anymore, but there was a young lady in there, and as I was preaching a totally different subject than what I'm about to share with you, it dropped into my heart that she had never told me this, never had voiced this, it was a word of knowledge, that she was struggling with the idea that she'll never find a spouse because her church is at a storefront and there's like 10 of us. And it was slim pickings. And I knew that the devil was tormenting her with that thought. And so I said this out loud. I just stopped preaching. I said, and listen, this is for somebody. I said, don't put God in a box. God doesn't need your church to be filled with 1 million men. All you need is the right one. Doesn't matter that there's not flocks and herds of men running around Family Church South. Doesn't matter. All it takes is one. With God, I've seen the finances in the church go from one day not having a clue how we're going to do things to the next day being like, do I even need to use faith anymore? One day it changed. I've seen in my own personal life, one day things change. All you need to do is give God your cooperation and your faith and let Him move and let Him work. Because this is the stage, the reeling it in, where things get tough, where things get hard, where the doubt and unbelief starts to creep in. But no. Just every day water that. Thank you, Father, that's coming to pass. Thank you, Father, that's coming to pass. Glory to God. Glory to God. James chapter 1 and verse 2, and we'll close here in like a little bit. Sorry. I was like thinking, man, I'm about to just lie to my church. I better figure out how to word this different. It will be a little bit. James 1 and verse 2. See, now remember this. Don't the biggest trophies put up the biggest fight?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's not hard to get a sunfish in the boat. But big deal, what's a sunfish compared to a shark? Or a swordfish? Or whatever they fish for out there that's big. I mean, what's a little perch in your boat compared to this huge, massive fish that you hardly ever get to see, right? Don't tell me that the perch would be the same reward as the shark or the swordfish or whatever. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. That which will bring you the greatest amount of joy, that which will bring you the greatest amount of blessing, is going to be the thing that's going to give you the most fits to get it in your boat. But if you'll stay with it, not give up, not let doubt and unbelief come in, keep watering it with your words, you will see the manifestation.
Amen.
You will see it. And see, during that time, you have to renew your mind to something different. What do I mean? Well, patience is a dirty word in America. I'm going to tell on myself. If I've sat in McDonald's park and drive-thru, and I've been there for more than 5 minutes, I actually literally feel the blood beginning to boil. 5 minutes! 5 minutes you can have a whole meal, and I'm ticked off and thinking, what took you so long? Just showing you patience ain't a thing, right? I mean, I'm nice and keep my love up, but I'm just telling you, you go through that, and anything in life, we want just quick results, quick results, quick results, quick results. But see, seed time and harvest. Faith and patience.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You wouldn't need faith if you prayed it and it showed up the same day.
Go.
Thank God when that happens, but that's not the norm.
Yeah. Amen.
You need faith because you release it, you get excited, and nothing's changing the natural, or maybe the line's going even further away and it looks like your promise is farther than ever from coming to pass.
Yeah.
Praise God. So we need to renew our mind to what the Bible says. James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it joy. He says, I want you to be joyful in this time when you fall into diverse temptations. What does that mean? Various tests and trials. Well, what's a test and trial? When you're believing God for whatever he's put on your heart, or you're believing God for money or whatever the word says, and yet the natural says, no way, it's not going to happen. That's a test or a trial. Sure. He says, I want you to be joyful during that time. That's how God's take on it. Why? Why can you be joyful? He tells us in verse 3. He said, knowing this, because that's backwards. Test or trial, be joyful. How can I be joyful? Because this is going to happen. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your, or the testing of your faith worketh, that word in the Greek means produces. The testing of your faith during that time, once you've hooked it, to the time you see it show up, that's a test on your faith. The Bible says that test of your faith will produce something, and it produces patience. That dirty word we don't like. That dirty word that we think is so bad, and I just wish it just wasn't there. Well, you do wish it's there after you see what the word says, because in verse 4 it says, but, see, God knew people wouldn't like patience. See, people hear that, patience, no, God, no, God. He says, but let patience have her, what kind of work?
Perfect
work. How much different to your mind and what you could throw back at the devil, that when you're believing for that manifestation, that you're in that patience stage of faith, that instead of getting frustrated at how long it's taking, see, people that are truly in faith, they're not focused on how long it's taking, they know it's coming. They're not focused on how far away it is, they're focused on, it's a new day, how much closer is it to me? That's what faith people do. That's what faith people do. See, faith people have an expectation. They have an expectation that tomorrow could be my day.
Yeah.
That everything could change tomorrow. And if it doesn't change tomorrow, they wake up with the same fire the next day. Amen. It must be the next day then. It's coming to me. It's right around the next corner.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And so patience is a perfect work. So when it's not manifesting and it's not showing up, you say, Father, I thank you. A perfect work's being done. You might not know all the behind the scenes things that are happening and need to happen and how good the thing's going to be. But you can know by the Bible, this is perfect. This is perfect. It helps my mind to know that when I'm in the midst of that, and we all ought to be in the midst of that, because if you're not believing for something, what in the heck's wrong with you? Get believing for something. Praise God. So I already have everything for me. Well, then get believing for something for somebody else. Don't be selfish. And there are things in my life, I'm in that patient stage. Would I like them to manifest? You betcha. But you know what? It's perfect. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So whatever he needs to do in that patience period, have your way, Father, because it's perfect.
Amen.
It's perfect. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's close. Get your line in the water. I'm debating on whether I should say that or not, and I probably should. Some people's spiritual fishing equipment is not functional because their love walk is so out of whack. They stir up divisions, they stir up strife, they stir up gossip, they are contentious, they're backbiters, they gossip about other people. Listen, your line is cut. You have nothing on the end of that line, no bait at all. You're throwing an empty hook in that water if your love walk's not on course. It's not our jobs to talk about people and situations and behind their backs and to gossip about them and to, you know what our job is to do, ladies and gentlemen? Our job is to support, love, and pray. That's our job. That's our job, is to be loving, to be kind, to be merciful, to be helpful, praise God. Not to criticize, not to put your two cents in, not to tell people how you think it should be or what the way. You don't know a lot of times what people are facing and what they're going through. It's our job to love, encourage, and pray no matter what. Now, if people won't receive that, that's their fault. But that's our job. Let's get out of the gossip crowd. Let's get out of the backbiting crowd. Let's get out of the strife, stirring up divisions, talking about people, trying to pit people against other people. Let's get out of doing that and just walk in love and go catch some things that belong to us.
Amen. Wow, that's good.
And I didn't say this last night, and it came up in my heart this morning, and right before service I typed that on my iPad, because it needs to be said, because your love walk will cancel out your whole fishing trip. So just be loving.
Amen.
Just be loving.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful to call you ours, and you call us yours. Praise God. We love you so much, Father. Thank you. Faith is such a joy. It's such a journey. It's so wonderful. It is such an honor and such a blessing to live by faith. Father, if we didn't have the force of faith, we would be stuck with a whole lot of yuck in this world, a whole lot of bad situations and things that weren't working our way. But Father, you have given us this force that can absolutely annihilate the natural realm and make it look like the Word of God. So thank you. Right now, we ought to be grateful, and let's just thank him for faith. Thank him that he's working. Whatever you're believing for, thank him. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. I will not pass from this earth. Now, I'm making this personal for myself right now, but you make it personal for you. I will not pass from this earth until I have seen it come to pass. I will not rest. I will not be satisfied till the things which you have spoken in my heart, to the things that are in the Word of God, come to pass in my life, Father. I thank you. You are a faithful God. Faith will make it manifest. Faith will make it happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I'm quite sure it's just easier for me to say it this way. God has offered heaven to every single person. When there was no way to God, he made a way, and his name was Jesus. Now, religion will teach you that you have to jump through many hoops to get to God, that it's about how good you were, how much church you've attended. But the Bible's clear that heaven belongs to those that do the right thing with Jesus, and that's it. And so if you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you can say, Pastor, I'm not so sure I would go to heaven. Well, you don't have to have doubts like that. I mean, that would be a tormenting thought, because one of the joys of being a Christian is the world can do whatever it wants. In the end, I win no matter what. In the end, I have heaven. And I lay my head down at night just confident in that. And it's a refreshing and peaceful place to be. So if you're here or listening by live stream, that thought does not have to haunt you or torment you anymore, because if you'll choose to do the right thing with Jesus this morning, you'll be born again and heaven will be your destination. And the only thing you have to do with him, you don't have to be a member here, you don't have to, you know, a lot of the wrong ideas that people have about how you get God to love you. The only thing you have to do is acknowledge that you believe that Jesus was real. If in your heart you could say, I know he was real, and that he died and rose again, the only thing left you have to do is to call into him and invite him into your life. That's it. That's all you have to do. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, we won't embarrass you, you won't have to come forward or say anything on your own, or if you're listening by live stream, you're included on this. And you say, I want to let Jesus into my heart. I don't know everything yet, and there's still some things I'm unsure about, but I know he was real, and I know I want to let him in. I know I want heaven to be a reality. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here for the first time, I won't embarrass you, no one's looking. Would you just lift your hand high in the air and put it right back down if you want to receive Jesus for once and for all? Is there anybody in the service? I don't like to rush it. Last night I didn't rush it, and hands kept going up. And so is there anybody here? You say, Pastor, how do I know? Because your heart's telling you right now, don't miss this. Just obey what your heart is saying. Again, you don't have to become a member here or do anything goofy and weird. But if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior with no one looking around, would you lift your hand high in the sky and put it right back down? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Father, I don't see any hands in the service, but that doesn't mean that somebody doesn't need to receive you. It doesn't mean that someone listening doesn't need to receive you. So, Father, I pray that if there's someone here or listening and they've never accepted you into their heart, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord and Savior. And, Father, I pray that they would let him in and experience all the blessings. And once they do, they would find a Bible-teaching church to show them all the good things that you have for them. Let's just praise him one more time for everything he's done for us, for everything he's doing for us, and for everything that he's going to do for us. Father, we expect great things. Father, we expect great things. We expect great things, Lord. We bless you this morning. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You all are just so awesome. So don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. Be here. God will speak to you. Praise God. And then we'll also be back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You are dismissed. Praise God. Your promise, oh God.